I had in my mind that this is what I'm going to do. This is my dream job. I mean, I had my life planned out. And then they called me and I was like, you know what? No.
My name's Esprit Devora, host of the Women in Tech Show. The show means a lot to me. The reason why I wanted to create the Women in Tech Show is I wanted to create a positive piece of content, something where people can listen and say, if she can do it, so can I. I call it actionable empowerment. Every single episode, you'll hear the story of a fantastic woman in tech, from engineers to founders to investors to journalists to designers, all sorts of different females in tech who have thrived. I want to share their stories with you so that you can know what resources, mentors, and life situations they accessed in order to get to where they are today. Enjoy.
This episode is powered by the Swiss Entrepreneurship Program.
We are helping enhancing the startup ecosystems in 6 different countries, 4 of which are based in the Balkans. And you get to meet really amazing people here. And not just that you share your know-how, you also get to learn a lot from these people here. My name is Nina Nikolic, and I am the manager of Entrepreneurs in Residence and ecosystem facilitator for the Swiss Entrepreneurship Program here in Macedonia.
Thank you so much for powering the Women in Tech podcast. Welcome back to the Women in Tech podcast, celebrating and empowering women in tech around the world. And we are in Skopje, Macedonia. And I am so excited to introduce the next Women in Tech to you. Hello.
Hi.
So go ahead, tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do.
So I'm Kika Vira, based in Skopje, Macedonia, and I am actually computer science and engineering major, but I am actually a graphic designer, video producer, and also social media something.
And what this conversation is going to be about is Kika was sharing with me that she has been studying technology, and in studying it, she's realized that there's a different pathway that she feels more in alignment with. And I wanted the opportunity to share her story of, you know, what she has studied, how long she studied, and how she's discovered what's right for her. Because I think that's a really powerful conversation to have, because so many people feel like, oh man, I've invested 4 years, this is what I have to do now, even though it's not the right fit, or the whole world wants me to do this, so I have to do it to like do it for society. So I really want to share Kika's story. So let's start from the beginning. When did you first discover you were passionate about technology or interested in technology?
Well, that's a story that begins from the first time I actually got a computer. That was around age of 15, probably. So I was using technology and making like little videos and finding new ways to make promotion, like PowerPoints presentations for school and stuff like that. So that's kind of when I discovered what can I do with this new gadget that I have at home. The truth is that I always wanted to do something creative on the creative side, and I was really also interested in the performing arts and acting and the movie industry. But started and enrolled in the computer science university, because here in Macedonia we are a very small country and the economy is very bad.
Yeah.
I don't want to say it, but it is pretty bad. And the society kind of thinks that the global perception is that if you are not an engineer or a doctor or a lawyer or something like that, you are not going to be able to make money, because the art and creative stuff here are very underappreciated. So I wanted to go into the arts, but although, I mean, I loved technology and I was all the time producing something on my computer and stuff, but I wanted to go into the arts more. But my parents, my family didn't let me at the time, and I think that this is a problem that a lot of people face, a lot of young people face when they graduate high school and they are making the next step. From this perspective, I'm kind of ashamed to admit that my parents made me do something that I didn't want to do. But at the time, I didn't know how to step up and, you know, voice my thoughts and my what I actually wanted to do. So I went into the to the tech world, into the computer science world, thinking that at some point I will have to find some subject or some area, because the computer science world and the tech industry is a lot of different,
right,
you know, things that we can, a lot of different things you can do in this area. So I was like, first year, second year, I will find something. I studied really hard, sleepless nights in the library studying and stuff. And I was like, I will have to find something. I hoped that I will find something. And I did find something. That was in the third year, I think. It was computer graphics and 3D animation modeling. That was something also that's connected with the movie industry that I really wanted to get in, but from the tech perspective. I really got into it. I was like, okay, I have my life planned out now. I know what I'm gonna do. We have a big company here that works on big movies. They are doing the special effects and stuff like that. So I was like, I'm gonna get more into this, into the 3D modeling, 3D animation, and I was like, I'm gonna go and work for them after that. So I enrolled in a 3D modeling academy. I was studying for a year, and at the end of it, they called me from this company, and they were like, you can come tomorrow and start working for us.
Which is huge.
Which is, yeah, you can imagine, for like a year and a half, I had in my mind that this is what I'm gonna do. This is my dream job, you know? I mean, I had my life planned out, as I said. And then they called me, and I was like, you know what? No. I found out that it's not gonna make me happy. Mm-hmm. I will be miserable in this job, because I found out that, you know, it's not as creative as I wanted to be. I wanted my creative freedom and to use my skills into something that's important for me. And I know we've heard so many times, you know, find what you want. That's how you're going to be successful, if you are doing what you really love to do and stuff like that. And it sounds corny, but it's so true. It's so true, you know? And I found out the hard way, let's say. So yeah, that's how I ended up without a job, without a clear view of what I'm going to do in the future. But
and how long ago was this?
This was like 4 years ago, mm-hmm. I think. So at the time when I was actually studying, because I was going crazy, I was studying something that I really didn't see myself doing in the future. Don't get me wrong, I found it very interesting, programming and all those subjects that were about creating something new.
Yeah.
I loved it. There are so many subjects at the university that I really was into, and I had a lot of good grades on them. But I didn't see myself working as a programmer.
Right.
So at that time, I started looking into and like videos on YouTube and stuff about graphic design and Photoshop, Illustrator, also video editing. And that was kind of my creative outlet, using this technology that people use for programming, but I was using them to create something, you know, to do something creative. And I was working on promotional materials and stuff like that, because I was going crazy with all the the studying.
Were you afraid to transition away from technology when you, well, it's not really like you've transitioned away from technology, but from specifically being a programmer when you had invested so much time and energy and that's what essentially your family and society wanted from you? Was it a scary transition?
Well, for me, it wasn't really a big transition, because while I was studying the computer science at the university, I was also learning by myself the graphic design stuff. So I kind of...
Was at the same time?
At the same time, I was learning the both things, you know? I don't have a formal education on graphic design and stuff like that, but I gained a lot of experience and a lot of knowledge at the same time, so it wasn't really a big transition for me.
Are you looking to work for another company now as a graphic designer, or are you building your own company?
I am working as a freelancer right now, graphic design and video production. I don't really think about getting a job.
Yeah.
If at some point this stop working, the freelancing thing, I am actually thinking about opening something for video production, because I do have that entrepreneurial mindset at heart. I don't really see myself as a 9-to-5 person. I'm 24/7 person.
How did you find your first clients?
Well, it's all about word of mouth at this point for me, because at the university, I was very active at the student organizations, and we were collaborating with a lot of companies, with a lot of people that have companies.
Right.
They knew that I was doing all the promotion, all the graphic design, all the videos and marketing for the student organization. So they already knew me. So that's kind of, I got actually my first job. I worked for a while for a company, and then also all the freelancing gigs.
And you're about to go on live TV to talk about being body positive, which is a huge movement going on globally right now. Can you tell us a little bit about your passion there?
Yes. So for a while, I was making videos on YouTube for 2 years already, because I really wanted to make videos. And this was like...
What's your YouTube channel, by the way?
It's Kika Vira.
Can you spell it for us?
Can I? Let's see.
And we'll include it in the show notes too.
Yes. Yeah. I was doing all kinds of videos for travel videos, vlogs, tips and tricks, all that I could think of, because I wanted to gain that experience. And after 100 videos made, I think, I kind of found my niche and what I was actually passionate about, which was body positivity, which here in Macedonia, there is no conversation about it. Nobody's talking about it. Nobody's talking about mental health and, all these things. So I was like, I had my story about that. You can see it, but I'm a curvy girl. I was like, I can help people, and I have the skills to actually produce content on this. So I was like, let's use these skills I have and this story I have, combine both things and kind of inspire other people to love themselves, love their body and all that. So I'm currently building the movement on Instagram. It's also Kika Aviro.
we'll include all of the social links in the show notes.
Shameless promotion.
No, you, that's what we're here for, to celebrate you. It's not shameless at all. It's celebrating you and the positive work that you're doing.
Yes, and an interesting thing, when I was starting, everybody on Instagram, for example, everybody is like posting these beautiful pictures, photographs with like... very interesting editing, right, and stuff like that. And I was like, I'm not a photographer. I'm not very stylish, say. Not very fashionable, but what am I good at?
Yeah.
I'm good at graphic design. I'm good at video, video editing. So I was like, I'm going to use what I have.
Yeah.
And that's why I actually, all the posts I post are heavily edited, like little flyers actually with quotes and all that.
What do you use? What tools?
I use Photoshop and Illustrator and Premiere Pro and a little bit of After Effects.
Any apps?
Apps? Not really.
Like, do you use Snapseed?
I use it. I used to use it more.
Which is a photo editing app on... photo editing
Or for the phone, yes. But I... right now, I'm working more on the computer.
On the computer.
Yes, producing things and then uploading to... via my phone.
And one last thing, I think that... Oh, do you use any social management tool?
Not yet.
No. One last thing I'll ask that I think, you know, some people may find curious is, do you have any kind of structure in posting? Like, how many times do you post a day?
Well, this is a very touchy subject for me right now.
Because it's a touchy subject for everybody. Is it one time? Is it two times? Is it every hour? What is it?
Well, I would say as more as you can, like up to 3 times, let's say, a day. And a lot of stories, for sure.
Lots of stories.
I'm doing, on my profile, I'm doing this kind of an Instagram feed team.
Yeah.
And that made me to have to post... 3 at a time, amazing, every day.
Yeah.
So that's a very, that's a lot. So
so I have a recommendation for you. Have you heard of the book Influencer that just came out?
No.
But I think you'd love it. It's great. It's a step-by-step strategy on how to be incredible and have a strong brand on social. So I think you'd love the book Influencer. It's on Audible and Amazon or something. I don't know, because in Macedonia, I don't know what you have access to, but the book is great.
I will find it.
Yeah,
yes.
You'll find it. Thank you so much for being on the Women in Tech podcast. Is there anything else you wanted to share before we wrap up?
Well, I would, because you mentioned a book and something that you follow. I follow Gary Vee, and he's like, I'm doing everything he does, and that's helpful for me and social media.
And a shout out to Cody Warner. I don't know if you found Cody Warner, who created the movement No Small Creator. It's CodyWanner. He has a YouTube channel. He has tutorials on how to edit quicker. He has an amazing Instagram, and he follows Gary Vee too. And so I think Cody Warner is someone great if you're looking to really create a strong brand online. He jumped from just a couple thousand subscribers to over 40,000 subscribers in 1 month, all organic and authentic. He's extraordinary at creating community. Thank you so much for hanging out with the Women in Tech podcast. If you want to connect with more extraordinary women in tech around the world, remember to go to womenintechvip.com. Womenintechvip.com takes you straight to the Facebook group. Say hello on social at Women in Tech Show on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook. I will talk to you guys, see you guys, hear you guys in the next episode. Bye.
Bye bye. I'm Kika Aviro, computer science and engineering major, transitioned into graphic designer, video producer, and body positive activist based in Skopje, Macedonia, and you're listening to Woman in Tech.
It would not be possible to celebrate all these women in tech who have been extraordinary here in the Balkan region without the Swiss Entrepreneurship Program. And I'd like to welcome Nina to talk a little bit about what Swiss EP is. Thank you so much for powering the Women in Tech podcast.
We are helping enhancing the startup ecosystems in 6 different countries, 4 of which are based in the Balkans. We are working in emerging markets and supporting young entrepreneurs, but also the supporting organizations like Incubator Accelerator. We started a program called Entrepreneurs in Residence, which means that experts can come and work with our startup founders here and startup teams and supporting organizations. We cover accommodation and travel expenses, and you get to meet really amazing people here, and not just that you share your know-how, you also get to learn a lot from these people here. My name is Nina Nikolic, and I am the manager of Entrepreneurs in Residence and ecosystem facilitator for the Swiss Entrepreneurship Program here in Macedonia.
To find out more about the Swiss Entrepreneurship Program, go to entrepreneur-in-residence.net. That's entrepreneur-in-residence.net.